After wishing everyone Shavua Tov and Shana Tova, Odmat. Okay. So I've mentioned in the past that we would give a series on of two lectures. This is the second part on the practical aspects of Shemitah of Shvi'it. We have a Shvi'it year that's coming up in just 3 days. And I've mentioned that I have these two Sfarim that are very helpful. And if you ask me questions and I can refer to them and give you answers, that's great. Today I want to introduce another book for those who like to read in English. I just got a hold of this from Evan. Evan Sandler lent this to me. And it's a very interesting book. It's called Guidelines to Shemitah, written by a number of Rabbanim. So we'll use that today as well. So what I want to do is just again give a little bit of background and an introduction, and then get into some of the practical issues. I actually got a few questions that Jonathan and Aaron have written me some questions, so thank God for the internet. And we're putting the internet into good use. Okay, the first thing I want to share with you is actually in the back of this book, in an appendix. I don't know why he put it in the back. I think it really belongs in the front. And that's the issue of Kedushat Shvi'it with regard to, and stop me if I go too fast or if I assume you know the terminology, you don't. If I assume that something has the sanctity of Shvi'it, which engenders all sorts of different prohibitions and mitzvos and how to treat it, how do I know in any particular type of Zroim, of Tzemach, that it fits under that category of Shvi'it? I mean, one could ostensibly argue that, you know, anything I harvest during the seventh year has Kedushat Shvi'it. Or one could argue anything that grows during the seventh year has Kedushat Shvi'it, even if it wasn't harvested until Shminit, you know. One thing I can tell you up front that's absolutely clear is that anything that was harvested in Shishit, in the sixth year, that doesn't have Kedushat Shvi'it. I mean, there is a law of Tosefet, of starting a little bit earlier, but that's not for our discussion right now, and it doesn't have that much relevance to us, so we can, I think, establish up front that anything that we're eating now in this beautiful bouquet of what I call the Shalach Manot, it's all Shishit, you know, it's not Shvi'it, so that's okay. However, you know, the plot goes thicker. In, I would say, 3 weeks from today, 3 weeks from today, but actually I would say 3 weeks from Rosh Hashanah, we're going to have a problem here in Israel of lettuce and cucumbers, and maybe some other vegetables, but certainly lettuce and cucumbers, meaning the law of vegetables, which is called Yirakot, is called in the Gemara's language, Azlinan Basar Lakita, which means that the critical determination of what year this produce belongs to is Lakita, which means harvesting. And what we're going to find is that the harvesting of the new crop of Yirakot is going to begin very quickly in the case of lettuce and cucumbers. We're actually going to be hit on the market in just 3 weeks' time with lettuce and cucumbers that have Kedushat Shvi'it. Okay, that's number one. That's Yirakot. So again, the critical, should I say, the pivotal point in terms of vegetables is Lakita. I don't care when it grew. I don't care if it grew 10 years ago, if it grew months ago. But when did I do the Lakita? Which is going to be good on the other end, because what it means is that if I have vegetables that are growing during Shvi'it but are not plucked from the ground, they're not picked from the ground until Shminit, then they don't have Kedushat Shvi'it. So it works in both directions. That's as far as vegetables are concerned. Then we move on to fruits, which is called Perot HaIlan. With regard to fruits, what's going to happen in most cases, again, olives and grapes are a little bit more complicated, is that the key moment, the pivotal moment that determines what year they belong to is called Chanata. And that's an impossible concept to define. It just doesn't have an English translation. Rashi says, for example, that Chanata takes place as soon as the waters fall down from the heavens and are absorbed by the roots of the tree. So obviously we're talking at a very early stage. You can have something that has Kedushat Shvi'it, and yet you might not even see it until way later down the line. But it's already the rains of this year. Let's say, for example, most of the rains will fall between the period of, here in Israel, that's called Yimot HaGshamim, from the time of Rosh Hashanah until Tu Bishvat. Okay, during that 5-month period of time, you can have most of the rains. And at Tu Bishvat, you already have Chanota. You might not see a thing on the tree, not even a bud. But Rashi says that since the tree in its roots has absorbed enough water to produce, the potential is there. Here we emphasize potential. I can give a whole drush and philosophy on that, but everything depends upon the potential. So you might not see those fruits until Shminit, until the 8th year, or maybe even beyond, but it already has Kedushat Shviyit. So fruits become very complicated. But in a sense, it makes life easier for us for this year, right, for Shviyit, because we're going to hardly see fruits of Shviyit until, you know, way later in the season. Okay. Then we have something called Chameshes Mine Dagon, which means grains. And the same thing will apply to kidneys, which is legumes. With regard to grains and legumes, the key is what's called Hava'at Shlish, which is 1/3 of its growth. So then you have legumes and grains that will grow during Shviyit. They may be harvested, let's say, in the spring, or even later, in the months of June, July, and August. They will hit the market, and you've got Kedushat Shviyit. Okay? All right. So that's just a very superficial overview to give you a sense of how complicated the laws are. But again, let's talk about vegetables. We started with vegetables, and that depends on Lakita. So, you know, after Rosh Hashanah, you're going to have vegetables hitting the market very quickly that are cut down on Shviyit. I don't care when they grew, they have Kedushat Shviyit.
What about, like, Etz Charov, which bring the fruit only in 70 years?
I mean, right,
all
right.
So because they had 10.
Maybe. You know, you have to know about charuvim. In other words, way down the line, your grandchildren will have to paskin on that child. I don't know why. Okay. Here's what I want to ask you, and this is the major question. How many people in this room, and please be honest with me, this is just a census, so to speak, for my own curiosity. How many people, by a show of hands, have heard of Svichin?
I mentioned it last week.
What? Oh, because I mentioned it last week. Okay. Now, Svichin is what I call, in baseball terms, for Americans at least, a curveball. It means it changes everything. And your average Jew on the street, I don't care how orthodox he is or she is, doesn't know beans about Svichin. I don't know if I know too much about Svichin, especially with regard to beans, since we mentioned beans, because beans are very complicated. Okay, what's going on with Svichin? Okay, first of all, let's translate the word into English. Safiach or Nispach means when you have a territory and you expand a little beyond, it's additional. So in addition to all the planting that one could do on Shviyit, and certainly all the products of that planting are called shamur, which is nevad, and it's prohibited because you violated Shviyit. But in addition to that, there are fruits and grains and legumes and vegetables that grow without planting. Okay? Let's say, for example, I didn't plant anything during Shviyit, but I may have things that, you know, are seeds or whatever have you that took root and started growing during Shviyit. Despite the fact that it wasn't a result of my action, I didn't do neither Zriyah nor Charisha nor Asifa or Ketzira, nothing. I didn't do anything. Okay? It happened by itself. It doesn't matter. If it grew during Shviyit, again, broke, you know, we have to break that down into all its component parts, then it has Kedushat Shviyit, but I can't eat it. On a Torah level, not only can I eat it, but I have to eat it, because it has Kedushat Shviyit. And the Rabbanan said, you can't eat it. It's prohibited. That's called Svichin. So we're going to start with the following, just an example. I have, let's say, vegetables that grew during Shviyit. 5 minutes ago, I told you that since we cut it down during Shviyit, that's called Lakita. It has sanctity of Shviyit, which means that I should be eating these potatoes and these onions and even their peels. We'll see about peels. I got to feed the peels to my elephant, my local elephant, and so on, right? And now I'm telling you, are you listening to me now, that these vegetables are totally prohibited. Why? Because they grew during Shviyit. And if they grew during Shviyat, they take on the law of Sfichin, which is a rabbinic prohibition. That's Aser Iser Olam. I don't care if you hold on to these vegetables in deep freeze for 10 years, it doesn't matter. It's Aser, it's Sfichin. So ask me the following question, which has bothered my mind now for a couple of weeks. When is there Kedushat Shviyat in vegetables, in Yirakot, that I can actually eat? You know, when do I get, you know, give me a holy potato and tell me that potato is holy and you can eat it. You have to eat it and you have to get, you know, do what you have to do with it. And we'll talk about that later. The only case that you could have Kedushat Shviyat in Yirakot, in vegetables, without the Issur Sfichin, is if it started growing before Shviyat. In other words, I could already see in the plant that I'm looking at that there's something coming up from the ground. You know, there are onions, there are potatoes, there are carrots, whatever it is. If I can't see that, then I assume it grew during Shviyat, and if it grew during Shviyat, it's rabbinically prohibited under the law of what, everybody? Sfichim. Why did the Rabbanan do such a thing? What irked the Chachamim and got them to stand up and make this gzera called Sfichim, which enjoins me from implementing Kedushat Shviyat, which I'm dying to do. We mentioned last week the Ramban sheet that said eating Kedushat Shviyat is a mitzvah.
They were worried that people were planting on Shviyat.
Exactly. They were afraid of people who were planting during the seventh year and claiming that it just grew. You know, the seeds were there from before, and we had nothing to do with it. In other words, there was a temptation to market your produce that's a result of violating the laws of Shviyat by planting, etc., during the seventh year. So they said, you know what? We're going to take all fruits and vegetables and grains, etc., that grew during Shviyat, and we're going to prohibit them under the law of Sfichin. The good news is that if I put vegetables on one end of the polar extreme and I put fruits at the other end, there was never a gzera of Sfichin on fruits. Fruits are either kadosh b'kedusha shviyas or they're not sanctified with kedusha shviyas. But there's no such thing as a fruit which has kedushat shviyat and at the same time is also is prohibited under the law of Sfichin.
Why?
Exactly. The Rabbanan were afraid in the case of vegetables and grains and legumes and herbs and spices that you would try to pawn it off as if you didn't grow it, but it wasn't worth it for the farmer to violate Shviyat with regard to Perot Ha'ilam, with regard to fruits, because the process of growing fruits is such a long, complicated one. It just didn't make any sense that there would be a farmer who would go ahead and start planting trees during Shviyat and violate the law of Shviyat.
So how do we have...
There's enough trees, there's an abundance of fruits on the trees, no one's trying to cheat us with regard to fruit trees. So there's no Sfichin on fruits. That's only what we call a halba nechama. You know, that's a half a consolation, because with the exception of fruits, we basically have the Issur Sfichin in everything else.
Go ahead. You have vegetables at all, the last half of Shemitah. How do you have Yirakot at all?
Okay.
If they were all grown, it must have grown during Shemitah. Like, you can't have a lettuce that was planted last year all of a sudden sprout, like...
That's what I'm telling you, that you know, one of the questions that both of you gentlemen asked me is, can I eat at somebody's house? Can I go to a restaurant? There's no ashkacha, there's no law of, you know, nobody's observing the laws of Shemitah. So what do they rely on, let's say, if they're Orthodox Jews? They rely on the Heter Mechir, right? So the whole land is sold, which, as I told you last week, is a headache, a major headache. And the poskim never accepted. Rav Kook, the chief rabbi of Palestine, instituted the Heter Mechir at a time when it was do or die, you know. But now, I'm afraid to say this, but just about any Orthodox Jew that knows anything about halacha, and I'm really going far on a limb, and I'm not a big machmir, if you know my personality. Any Jew who knows anything about halacha is not going to rely on the Heter Mechir.
What's the difference between Heter Mechir and then
on Pesach,
on Selach
Chametz? Okay, excellent question. Yeah, go ahead, Max, you answer the question.
It's mutter to sell food to a goy, it's usher to sell Eretz Yisrael to a goy. That's
it. Is there a right? Well, I, again, I'm not sure if I would go as far as Max in saying that selling Eretz Yisrael. I'm just saying I don't think the sale is valid. You can't sell Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook did it because he had no choice, but...
But that's the issue.
Yeah, not the Issur. The Issur is Shviyas. The Issur is Shviyas because it has Kedushat Shviyat. You can't undermine Kedushat Shviyat and say we sold the land to the Arabs. and it no longer belongs to Klal Yisrael. In fact, the Kenyan that I discussed last week of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael dates back, you know how many, to whom? Tavram Avinu, Kuvit Alech Bar.
It's not a sale.
No, that Kenyan, again, I don't want to go over what I said last year, but there was somebody who came to our yeshiva. I'm talking 50 years ago. I'm an old guy already. And he was a big rabbi, and he gave a whole shiur, and he said that during the 70 years between Churban Bayit Rishon and Binyan Bayit Sheni, Ezra Nechemiah, during those 70 years, Eretz Yisrael was not Eretz Yisrael, it was Chutz Lars. So Rav Soloveitchik, who was our Rebbe, he let the guy finish his thing. And as soon as the guy walked out, he got up and he said, he's absolutely wrong. And again, if you'd have to know Rav Soloveitchik to understand how atypical that is. He was really tempted to stop him in the middle of the class. Because Eretz Yisrael is not dependent upon the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, even Kedushas Eretz Yisrael doesn't depend upon the Mikdash. But again, this is a long discussion. So let's just get back. So again, I just want to, because we want to focus on the practical question. So Jonathan and Aaron, to answer your question, I want to show you what I found here in this practical guide. He says that basically, Ein pitaron l'bayazot. There's no solution. He says the following. Let me just see if I can get it. He says, stores that observe Shemitah and are under supervision of a Beis Din will not sell Sfichin. But unfortunately, Sfichin appear in stores that do not observe Shemitah. And therefore, it's almost impossible to go into those stores and be careful about purchasing vegetables during Shemitah. Again, you know, we said that fruits is a different story. Okay, now, just give me 1 second to get oriented, if you don't mind. I'm looking for page 70 here. May one eat in a house of people who do not observe Shemitah? It should be avoided for the following reasons, A, B, and C. He says, from the beginning of Shemitah, vegetables will become Sfichin. Okay, so you'll say, well, I won't eat any vegetables. Okay. He says, there's another halach, which we didn't even discuss, that's called Shas HaBir, which is going to happen later on in the season. That means as soon as the season is over, we have to take all our fruits, all our vegetables, and everything, and do a Mekayim Bir on it, which basically means to destroy it, but we have other ways of doing it by being mafkir and so forth and so on. He says, food that was cooked together with Svichim absorbs the taste of that Svichim, and the entire food becomes prohibited. And Rabosa, even though he's talking about eating in someone's house, by analogy, the same thing should apply in going to a restaurant. If the restaurant doesn't have a heksher for Shemitah, you're going to have all these issues of Svichim. So, you know, if you would have asked me, what's the problem with eating in someone's house? So, you know what? I don't rely on the het to mechira. So, he's giving me shvius. So, why can't I eat shvius? I mean, shvius is not a heft to the sura. You know, shvius is not eating the veil of trefa. The Ramban holds that every achila, every time I eat shvius, I get a mitzvah. So, why not? What's my issue? The answer is these are svichin. That's where my problem is. Okay, you want to invite me for fruits? That's okay. You should know, he can invite me to eat a banana. Oh, I don't know how many of you like bananas. Bananas are not included under the Issa Sfichim. Okay? Now, he has a whole appendix here as to when the grains and the vegetables become Sfichim. Grains and vegetables, okay? My friends, that includes anything that you make a bar minim zonus on, anything that you make a motzi lecha menorah, if it's Sfichim.
Doesn't Otzer Beitin also have a problem though? Because it doesn't have to
Otzer Beitin will not sell you vegetables. You can't get a sack of potatoes from Otzer Beitin, my friends. In theory, I should qualify, you can get Otzer Beitin on lettuce and cucumbers in the next 3 weeks. But I don't think there is such a thing. But in pure conceptual abstract theory, I can sell you lettuce and cucumbers that don't have these Sfichin in the next 3 weeks. Meaning, what I'll do is, I'll go to the farmers, and I'll ask them to do a lakita now on Rosh Hashanah, I mean, Motzei Rosh Hashanah, and I know that it grew during the sixth year, so therefore, since I know it grew during the sixth year, it doesn't have Kedushat Shvi'it, and Alternatively, if it began to grow, and then I do the Lakita after Rosh Hashanah, I may have made a mistake in what I said before, but what I mean to say, if it began to grow, okay, so how many vegetables can I get that began to grow before Rosh Hashanah, and I'll cut down on Rosh Hashanah, and I sell them to you, or I market them to you. Very, very little.
So that means that,
and that's a case of Kedusha Shviyas, of Otzer Beitin. Otzer Beitin, by the way, is a synonymous term for Kedusha Shviyas. So you've got this really thin slice of a bag of lettuce, you know, one bag in the whole state of Israel that has Kedusha Shviyas. It's not Svichim. It's like a non-entity. It's almost non-existent. What do you get from Otzer Beitin? That's why Otzer Beitin is not going to be relevant to you or to me for many, many months down the line. You're going to get fruits. So you're going to get these bags of lemons. Okay, let's just go over quickly what happens with lemons and peaches and plums and other fruits. What happens is they grew what's called shlish during Shviyas, which again, you know, that we're entering into the end of the planting season, right? So let's say there's a planting season now, and we're going to see fruits on the tree. You know what? I don't even have to say planting. All I have to say is that these fruits grew during the seventh year, right? So you've got. Let's say, here's a perfect example, right? We pass the winter, right? What's on the trees? Zilch. Right? There's nothing on the trees. Now the fruits start growing on the trees. So let's assume they'll hit the market. I don't know, maybe May, June, July. That has Kedusha Shviyas.
Over the summer.
Okay, over the summer. So what happens with Otzer Beitin? Otzer Beitin says, you know what? No one is working the land for his own sake. Everyone is opening their, you know, their fields, their orchards, so that anybody could come in. And by the way, it should be like a 9-to-5 kind of thing. I mean, make it accessible for people to come and get. If you feel that people are entering into your field, and I'm sorry, I'm sort of rambling here. I really not going Kesedah, but yeah, you'll forgive me. But if you feel that people are going into your fields and they're destroying your fields, what you have to do is notify them when they can pick up the fruits, and you can supervise it. But there's got to be a gigantic sign. Okay, cows along Beitin. And they make a deal with the owner of the field, and they say, you know what? We're going to take care of harvesting the fruits in order to market them. But again, here's the key word: the word market, which in Hebrew would be l'shavek otam, is a very misnomer lent. It's not appropriate. It's not a good translation in the case of Otzer Beitin, because they're not going to charge you for those fruits in order to make a profit on them, because peirot shviyot are also v'schori. You're not allowed to sell them. What they will do is, they basically will provide the public at large with these fruits. They will charge the public the amount of money they need from the average consumer in order to cover their costs. What does that mean, to cover their costs? They need people to go out there and cut down the fruit to harvest them. They need people to put them into crates and transport them to the markets. And then what you're going to do is, you're going to buy massive amounts of fruits, which has Otzer Beitin, it has Kedusha Shviyas. You're going to pay a minimum amount. Again, it's getting a little more expensive as the Shemitahs go on. But I remember when my wife and I used to live in Saratskin, we came back from Otzer Beitin with a bag of lemons that was literally this large. We paid 10 shekel. I mean, there was, you know, because you're paying Otzer Beitin. No one's making a profit on it. The Beitin are supervising all the work that's necessary to get these fruits that have the sanctity of Shviyat over to the consumer. Now the consumer has to eat them because Kedushat Shviyat. Any questions so far?
I don't understand how a household, say, come Hanukkah time, is serving salads if every vegetable is always there.
Okay, so now we're talking about something that doesn't come under Svichin and doesn't have Kedushat Shvit, which means the following. Number one, it might mean that it's coming from Chutz Laretz. Again, vegetables from Chutz Laretz is very tricky. There's a lot of expense. You know, the Israelis impose certain taxes. It's not so simple. Okay. Then you have products of Arab fields. Big mess. Forget about Zionism now. I'm not talking just pure halach. Big, complicated mess. You know why? Because how do you know he's selling you his own produce? last Shemitah, they caught at least three Arab major marketers who were buying up Israeli products and selling them, pointing them off as Arab products. Okay? That's the... Then, on top of it all, you have something called Otzer Beitin. The only thing is that, as we said before, you're not going to get Otzer Beitin on vegetables. So you've got either Chutz Loretz, which doesn't have Kedusha Shviyas, or you have the produce of Arabs. Now, do the produce of Arabs have Kedusha Shviyat?
If we're here, no.
Who remembers last week? We discussed it. Excellent. Major controversy. Okay, we're here in Yerushalayim, so we can take a deep breath. If you want to buy Arab products, that's up to you. And the Arab produce, in theory, again, unless they're ripping us off, is grown and marketed by the Arabs, and they don't have Kedushat Shviyat because we're passing like the Beit Yosef. That's here in Yerushalayim. Okay? Now you go to Bnei Brak, and Bnei Brak goes like the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish paskins like the Ma'abit against the Mechaber, which means that even Peros of Nochri have Kedushat Shviyat. Which, by the way, pretty much undermines the whole concept of Heta Mechir. Because what we're saying is that the ownership of the guy does not remove or undermine the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Kol HaKavod, he owns a piece of land here. I don't know if he should be. That's a different child. If you ever want to hear a lecture on that, you know, Arab-owned land in Israel, that's some... Now, my friends, we have a third possibility. How can you have something that's not from Chutz Loretz, not from the Arabs, and it grows during Shviyas, and it doesn't have Kedusha Shviyas?
Hydroponics,
exactly. And you know what? We got to go down to Eilat. I'll tell you why we have to go as far as Eilat. Because the entire section of Eretz Yisrael, from Be'er Sheva till Eilat, is a matter of gigantic controversy. And I'll tell you why. We don't know historically exactly which lands of Eretz Yisrael were settled at the time of the Second Commonwealth of Ezra Nechem. And on every Tzad Vishal, you're going to get another Machlokas. In the back of this book, he's got maps according to the various Shittus. And I tried to work through this. Frankly, I threw in the towel. It would take me literally months of research to figure it out. Okay. So there's a new kind of thing, and this is who asked me about buying a card. Was that you, Jonathan?
Yeah.
So I think, if I'm not mistaken, you know, Be'er Avon Mugbal, as they say, I think that card is for this thing called Otzer Yisrael. What's Otzer? I think it's called Otzer Yisrael. What's Otzer Yisrael? Not Otzer Beitin. Again, it's the two polar extremes. Otzer Beitin means that it has Kedushat Shviyat. Meaning it's coming from Chutz Laretz, or it's, you know... I'm sorry, Otzer Beitin means it has Kedushat Shviyat, means coming from Eretz Yisrael, but there was no violation of the laws of Shviyat, right? So it's not Shomer, it's not Nevad, because they supervise all the work that it takes to get these products to your living room, to your kitchen, right? On the other extreme, what we're saying is, the opposite. It doesn't have Kedushat Shviyat. It's coming from Israel, you know, Jewish ownership, but it comes from the land of Israel that's not sanctified technically with the Kedushah of Shviyat. But what they want to know is, are you in? How do you say that? I'm not using the right word. Are you on board? Meaning, they want to know if it's worth it to go through this whole process. Are you in effect committed? Again, that's a loose word. I mean, nobody's going to fault you if you don't buy their products. But they want to know up front that you're on the membership list. You know, they're going to send you out an email. You know, they're going to say, you're a member of the club, you've got your card, we're going to market you, we're going to service you, we're going to encourage farmers down south, you know, to... What do you say?
You don't pay per fruits. Every person pays a certain amount of money.
Right.
And then they give out the fruits. So the payment is not...
So they already want to know that you're on board. So that they can begin to market a certain amount of produce and so on and so on. So if any of you are interested in going into agriculture, I don't know if Glide gives you a couple of months off here, and you want to make a buck, my recommendation is at least until we get past Shemitah, which is going to take a while because it's going to spill over into the eighth year, you might want to buy a plot of land, a tract of land down south and start... You know, this. But
if you had a greenhouse, it didn't matter. Where you could have a greenhouse.
So, is a greenhouse the same thing as off the ground? Okay. So, the greenhouse, and this has a lot to do with the issue of gardens, of gardening during Shviyas. In the greenhouse case, there are two different cases. there's something called an otzitz nokuf, and there's something called an otzitz she'ena nokuf, which again, it really means a pot that's perforated on the bottom or it's not perforated on the bottom. If it's outside the house, even if it's got, even if it's non-perforated, you know, it's got a solid bottom. So he says that according to many, many poskim, it's considered to be yonek min hakarka. Okay. However, there are many poskim who say that it's not yonek min hakarka. So in terms of flower pots, let me just read to you what he says about flower pots, and then I have a whole discussion about flowers if you're interested. He says... Okay. Of course, I'm not going to find it, but yeah. Oh, here it is. Is a flower pot with a hole. Okay. Perforated flower pot.
So on the ground outside.
Okay. An outside. If you have a flower pot on the outside of your house, okay. So an. Okay, that's just one. So that's the indoor plant. I just want to mention.
Well, indoor plants are like greenhouses, right? Because then you get your heads are from both directions. Not only is it not connected to the ground, but it's inside.
So he says about an indoor plant, if it's non-perforated, is incapable of deriving nourishment from the ground, and therefore doesn't have kedusha shvis. In this situation, he says, if you have a non-perforated indoor flower pot, how many people have that? It's probably pretty common. You're going to get one. So all forms of maintenance are permitted. Okay, so grow yourself some very good vegetables and eat whatever you like, throw out what you don't like, because it doesn't have kedusha shvis. Okay, fine. That's in terms of indoor, non-peripheral. Okay. Now, what about indoor flower pots that are peripherated? So that's a gigantic machlokas. And if the plant is capable of deriving nourishment from the ground, which is called an otzitz nokuf or perforated flower pot, the laws of Shemitah fully apply. But he says that there are many, many factors that it depends on what story of the building you are. You're the ground floor. It depends on the material the flower pot is made of, whether the plant is wider than the flower pot or the flower pot is wider than the land. Are there any objects underneath the flower pot that separate the flower pot from the ground? But Kitzur Maisa, for this you have to be a bucky in the laws of otzitz, and we're talking about an otzitz nokuf inside your house. Okay, as far as flower pots that are outside, you know, under the tachat tashamayim, so that seems to be kadosh b'kedusha shvius, and I think that's true. Again, I have to look this up again because this is a whole chapter on this. Even if it's non-peripherate, so non-peripherate, you're okay inside, but not outside. Okay. Then we have one. Oh, yeah. No problem.
Pot on the table outside.
Oh, outside, I'm not sure. Outside might be complicated.
What's the definition of outside, inside?
Outside means that the sun is hitting this pot directly.
Of course, if it has a roof, then...
It has to do
okay.
With the
if it's in a patio that's roofed, then you can't pull the sukkah there, and you have no problem with shvita. But if it's in a patio that's not roofed, and it gets yanika, then depending on what story you're on, and again, what the flower pot looked like, as I said, it might have kedusha shvius. But wait a second. Now, before I forget, I'm so sorry, because there's so much information, I'm like overwhelmed. There's one other category of stuff that you can get that has kedusha shvius. So again, we're talking about otzer beitin that has kedusha shvius, and then the stuff that you can eat that comes from down south, which doesn't have kedusha shvius, and you can eat, and you'll get hashgachas on all of this. And then there's another category called hydroponics. Right now, the hydroponics is a little bit simpler than the case of an otzitz, because these are grown in water. And I don't know if no one here is old enough to remember that there was a political party in this country called PAGI, Pole Agudat Yisrael. Yeah. And it was a fantastic party, especially when it came to Shemitah. They were Zionists, and they wanted to find a solution to the problem of Shemitah. So what they did is they developed a system, and the one who was in charge, his name was Rav Kahana, not Mayor Kahana, not that Kahana, different Kahana. And he was a Talmud of the Chazon Ish, and they developed a system which the kibbutzim would grow for Shemitah, different kinds of produce in water. And they were not growing from the ground. So that's another possibility. Now, I can't tell you, I have to do more research on this to tell you where you get a hold of this stuff. You know.
Also, there's not a yunica from the ground, same way.
Right, there's no yunica from the ground. It's coming from water. It actually grows in water. For example, you know, mushrooms could grow in water. There's very little, I don't even know if there's such a thing as mushrooms that have Kedushat Shvi'it. I don't think it exists. Because mushrooms are assumed to grow from water and not from the ground. Okay, what other questions, gentlemen, did you ask me or not ask me?
What if you accidentally buy Hetzer Mechira? So, you have this issue of Svichin.
I think the following. When you buy something out, when you buy something that has Hetzer Mechira, what you really have to do is, you have to figure out a way that the money that, this is first and foremost, that the money that you paid is going to be used in the proper way. What do I mean? Shvius has what's called Kedushas Dom. So if somebody relies on the Hetter Mechira and he is selling you something that has Kedushas Shvius, then that sale, in addition to being a violation of the laws of Shvius, that's bad enough, but to boot, that the money that you paid for this has the law of Shvius. Now, what you could do is, let me just think how this works. What you could do is, again, it's a kind of a harama. What you do is you pay the guy for that which doesn't have Kedushat Shvi'it. And then the surplus, you know, the balance of the money, is, which is really for the fruits, is going for whatever else. In other words, let's say, for example, he has a store, so he has electricity and he has other bills, right? So you, the money that you give him, he should understand is being paid not for the fruits, but being paid for those expenditures. And therefore, it doesn't have the law of tfisas damim of what's called chlipe shvius.
Well, that's already, if you're standing in the store and you realize that's 7:30.
Yeah, right.
You were asking like.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to go step by step.
Is that
so again,
is that,
what?
Is that work for him also in terms of the mechir?
Again, I wouldn't do it l'chatchila, but I'm just saying that if for one reason or the other, you know, you're in a situation where this is going on, what you would have to do, because otherwise what happens, he goes with that money and he uses it whatever way he uses it. Nobody's going to use it for Kedusha Shvi, it's not him, and not his next buyer who comes in and he gives change. So you've got a real problem. You're being machshel him by giving him money that has Kedusha Shvius because it was Chalipe Shvius, and that money is not going to be used for Shvius. So that's point number one. Now, in terms of the fruit and the produce itself, then it all depends on whether it's Svichin or not. Now, if it's vegetables that you're talking about, you know, it's Svichin, and you've got to get rid of it. You've got to get rid of it. In fact, if you have your own garden, and you have vegetables that are growing in that garden, those vegetables are svichin, and you should uproot them and get rid of them during Shvius. Do you follow what I'm saying? Unless they grew before Shvius. But if they didn't grow before Shvius, they are svichin.
Let's get rid of it. Friend,
yeah, burn them.
But how can you throw
them out? You don't have to burn them. Don't worry, I'm not, you know, come
age. Throw them out if they have to use Shvius.
Because they're svichin. And Jonathan, this is... That's what I'm telling you. This is the mind-boggling concept of Svichin, that Svichin came and completely undermined the law of Shvius. In other words, the mitzvah of Shvius is to use the fruits and the produce in the way that fulfills the Kedusha, the sanctity of Shvius. Came along the Rabbanan, they imposed an Issa Svichin, and they said, get rid of it, uproot it from the ground, and throw it in the trash. Right. That's as far as vegetables are concerned. If you have fruits growing in your garden, there's no problem. There's no issur svichin. In the worst case scenario, if they grew during the year of Shvius, then they have Kedusha Shvius. Which means, if you own such a garden, I don't know if anyone here has a garden, or their parents or grandparents have gardens with fruits growing in them, and those fruits are going to grow during Shvius. You got to, what should I say, invite the whole country to come and eat your fruits.
What hours will your door be unlocked?
We have in the back of our garden, we have Rimonim.
We're all coming over.
Yeah. Well, no, the Rimonim that we cut down on Friday have no Kedusha Shvius. But there's still Rimonim on the tree, and if we don't get to them before Rosh Hashanah, they'll have Kedusha Shvius. I'm going to have to invite you to eat those.
Because though they're last year's.
Oh, yeah, you're right, I made a mistake. Yeah. I was confusing fruits with vegetables. Yeah, you're right. Sorry, cross that out. But let's say later on during the year, correct? Yeah.
Next year.
Right.
Next
so,
crop.
Right. That's my next crop. Now these rimonim are ripe on the tree. They're beautiful. I'm a little negative, though, but I get very excited about it, my rimonim tree. You know, these rimonim are growing way before, are ripe for the plucking way before Rosh Hashanah. So what you're going to have is, you're going to have rimonim, not this year's crop, but next year's crop, that'll, let's say, begin to grow after Tu B'Shvat, and they will be ripe for the plucking before Rosh Hashanah. Then I got to invite you in next year to take my rimonim. I'm allowed to take enough rimonim to last me for my family, depending on how many family my members, for a week. Theoretically, you're allowed to take even more than that, but the minhag is, that's what you accept, that you also take only for a week. So you're going to have to come back for new rimonim a week later.
Do I need to worry about buying an etcher for next year? Or
absolutely.
Yeah, so here's a whole discussion. This year you have no problem.
Why not? This year?
No. All the etchogim reached.
Not the etchogim, the other things. The vegetable,
I don't know that there are any vegetables amongst the dog meaning.
My glasses. Yeah. There's
branches, it's not.
The aravot, you mean because of fragrance?
Yeah.
Well, so that comes back to the whole question of fragrance. So truth be told, that fragrance does not engender Kedusha Shvi'is. Mm. With a problem with flowers, no, I'm sorry, what did I just say to you? Starting in. The Dalet Minim is not a problem of Kedusha Shvi'is, I'll tell you why. Because it is grown and marketed for the sake, not of fragrance, but for the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. Mm. Okay. Now we get back to flowers. Why am I selling flowers? Why am I planting flowers? Why am I harvesting them? And why am I marketing them? There are two possible answers. One answer is because I love flowers. They're beautiful. That's called linoi in the Lashon of Chazal, in modern Hebrew as well. The other possibility is lereach, which means for fragrance. And there's a tremendous difference. If it's for fragrance, because these flowers just give a great smell to the flower, then it has Kedusha Shvi'is. And if it has Kedusha Shvi'is, then it also has the Issa Svi'cha. I have to convince you, therefore, that the flowers that you're buying are not marketed for the purpose of fragrance, but rather for the purpose of noi, because you just like to beautify your house. If I can convince you of that, then it doesn't have Kedusha Shvi'is, and there's no Issa
Svi'cha.
No, that's something else. Then it comes on the Shomer V'Nevah. Okay? Then it comes on the Shomer V'Nevah.
But other people are planting these flowers in Israel and selling it to me, and I'm buying them.
But why are they selling it to you? In other words, for what purpose? What kind of consumer are you? Are you?
I just look at them because they're pretty.
So then they have not violated Shvi'is because there's no Kedusha Shvi'is. There's no Kedusha Shvi'is. It's like, for example, okay, but it doesn't matter. It's not included in Kedusha Shvi'is. If let's say, for example, trees. So trees have a bark to them. The bark could be used for firewood, for making paper and so forth. So that's not Kedusha Shvi'is. The Kedusha Shvi'is is limited to the fruits that grow on the tree. But what were we talking about? I always apologize that the shiur is over and go back to work, you know? Work! Okay, what were we talking about before we got into flowers?
Arba Mina.
The Arba Mina. Say Arba Mina is not a problem. Let me just read to you what he says about the Arba Mina. This year there's no problem in Esrog. Next year, my friends, we're going to have to deal with Esrogim.
But we don't need to worry about it like he did this year.
So no, there's no... Because it's fruits. Fruits depend upon Shlish. There are no Esrogim that reached Shlish that are on the market.
Does mint have Kedusha Shvi'is?
It's for
mint?
It's for
mint should have Kedusha Shvi'is. Absolutely.
So that means I got a mint in my house to not have Kedusha Shvi'is.
Yeah. Wait, what am I talking about now? Oh, yeah, the Dalet Mina.
Inside the house.
By the way, if you're interested in, I don't know where to buy this book, but if you're interested, he has over 365 questions on Shvi'is. It's just, you might. Okay. Do any of the Arba Minim have sanctity? The Esrog may have sanctity, and then it depends on when it grows. So, right? So it grows during Shvi'is, that's going to be next year's Esrogim, will have sanctity. The Arabas do not have sanctity. Okay? Because the Arabas have no smell. That's the Medrash about Arabas. Arabas is a Jew that doesn't have a good smell, right? Okay. What about Lulav and Hadassah? So in the case of hadassim, I would think there's nothing, you know, there's something to discuss, because hadassim have a great smell. You have to, if you smell a hadass, you have to make a brach on that. Lulav, though, I don't even know what the issue is about a lulav. Let's just see, why does he think that there might be an issue about a lulav? Okay. Do lulavim have sanctity? According to most opinions, lulavim do not have sanctity. Yeah, this is the widely accepted custom. Okay, now I don't know what the other tzad is. I'm not sure why this is a suffix.
It's a product of a tree.
Yeah, but what can you do with a lulav? I mean, you could pick your ear with it, or you could burn a campfire with it, but what else can you do with a lulav? You smell a lulav? Lulav has no smell to it. I don't know what the issue about a lulav, frankly, is, but Baruch Hashem, the custom is that there's no Kedusha Shvius in lulav. So the only thing we're left with are hadassim. He says, according to most opinions, hadassim do not have sanctity. And this is the widely accepted custom. Although they are fragrant, which he didn't say with regard to a lulav, they are grown primarily for the mitzvah of arba minim. So again, it all depends on why you grow the thing. And if you don't grow it for something which is called hanasu biron shaveh, like smelling, but rather you're growing it simply for the mitzvah, that doesn't engender kedusha shvius.
So then why do etrogim have?
Etrogim have kedusha shvius for a different reason, because the esrog is a fragrant, by definition, it's a fruit.
Grown for a mitzvah.
If it's for jam, then it has kedusha shvius. But you're asking if, let's say, I'm selling it just for the mitzvah.
Normal vegetables.
I hear your question. That's an excellent question. I would think that the case of esrogim should be exactly the same as the case of hadassim. He says the minig is not to, but with regard to esrogim, the minig is to treat it as if it has kedusha shvius.
So, because you do really use it.
Maybe. You know what we do with our esrog? I don't know if this is common or uncommon. We put cloves in them. What's that called in Hebrew? Tziporet, I think it's called. And then we use it for b'samin. That would have kedusha shvius then. But again, I don't know if that's, you know, I'm just one case in a million.
That means you shouldn't do that, right?
No, I'm not.
Because you should feed it to an animal before you let it rot.
You mean it's edible?
Yeah.
You don't let it rot. When before, you put the cloves in it, like, dries out. It doesn't rot.
If you buy an esrog that has kedusha shvius. So again, he says hadassim do not have sanctity, and this is the widely accepted custom. Although they're fragrant, they're grown primarily for the mitzvah of arba minim. Nonetheless, one should not buy hadassim from a person who might have done forbidden work to that same tree during Shemitah. Okay. Schach has no sanctity whatsoever. So that doesn't have any Kedusha Shvius. May one make jam from Shemitah Srogim? Yes, one must take care to preserve its sanctity. According to some opinions, it's praiseworthy to make jam in order to eat the fruit. Wow. That's interesting.
So what about just like you go to a restaurant and look at the Tzidat Kashrut that says Mahadre? Does that mean that there's no issue of... Does that mean everything's from Chol? Or does that mean that...
Yes.
I eat my whole plate? What does it mean? Means everything's from Chol that says Mahadre.
So you're asking the following. Are they using Kedusha Shvius? I think in a restaurant the answer is no. If they're using like oats or beitin or something, then they would have to notify you that it's got Kedusha Shvius. Shana tova, toda rabba. You understand what I'm saying? They would have to notify you.
Cool. Everyone's gone now. I have a question.
Yeah.
I found this thing that Rav Mordechai Eliyahu says that you can do Heter Mechira L'Chachila. I wanted to hear what you thought about that.
Where is it?
This one. Yishal HaTshuva.
Bracha Ba'otza Ha'im Parot L'Tzivu L'Knot L'Chachila Heter Mechira L'Chachmir L'Nol Kedusha Shvim V'Peres V'Yokas Met
L'Chachmir
L'Chachmir L'Chachmir Otsar Ha'oretz Tavola Bracha. Oh,
right,
what did I say? Did I call it by its right name? Otsar Ha'oretz? I forgot what I called. That's the membership card.
Yeah.
Right.
It's called Otsar Ha'aretz. I don't know what I said before. Efshar lahorot latzibur lesmoch al heter mechira lechatchila.
Af she'eino ohavim oto.
What does he mean, eino ohavim oto? What's this?
Like, I think like what you said. Like,
like Rav, who was the first rabbi that like said like we could do it?
Rav Kook. It was actually done before.
But what does he mean? I don't know what that phrase means. So is this absolutely reliable? I mean,
it's coming up from his son.
Okay.
I'm just curious what.
I don't know. Again, I look through every single sefer that I get my hands of. I'm already up to 5 sfarim, and no one is excited about the Het Mechira. So I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
He does put Otzer Haaretz
ahead of,
first.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that doesn't have Kedusha Shvius.
Right.
And then he puts Het Mechira as number 2.
Right. And then he puts definitely don't buy from.
So you know what I would say, Aaron, in your case, you know, getting back to your question about eating in someone's house or going to a restaurant, I would say, especially for you,
no,
I'm not saying you have to rely on. I just think I wouldn't rely on this thing. I think you should go to a Rav, you know, who paskins for you, and ask him your opinion, his opinion. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And then if he says you can eat in anyone's house and rely on Het Mechira, so yeah, you know,
let him take
the blame for it.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? But I wouldn't rely on this thing. I've seen life experience has told me that these kinds of alonim are not always 100% reliable.
Okay.
But it does.
That was interesting. So.
Very interesting. Yeah. It's very hard today to be a chief rabbi and not rely on Het Mechira, because basically what you're saying is that 90% or I don't know what percentage of the Jews here in Israel are violating Shemitah.
Right.
It's almost that, you know, if you want to take a position, you know, as an official member of the Rabbanut, then you have to take the good with the bad, you know.
Why doesn't the Rabbanut as a whole implement Otzer Beit Din?
Otzer Beit Din.
Like, why is that not the get go?
I think is because the farmers are not going to buy into it. You know, you're talking about kibbutzim that are totally secular. Otzer Beit Din means all your parents are hefker. We're going to just help you to get it to the market to distribute amongst religious Jews who know how to treat Kedusha Shvius. These guys who are secular, they treat Shemitah every single year at the end. They make big bucks during Shemitah. And how do they sell to religious Jews? Because they have the Het Mechira.
Gotcha.
And they don't mind the Het Mechira, because what does Het Mechira mean to them?
It means nothing. Yeah.
It means they sign a paper, but I don't know if it has any legal repercussions. Is the Arab going to come and take away my land?
Right.
No way, no how.
Right. Interesting.
It's a very difficult situation.
Yeah.
This is one of the issues in halacha, which is contemporary, in Lamaisa, once every 7 years, that divides the people of Israel, unfortunately, down the middle. And I think with every increasing Shemitah, Het Mechira is getting less and less popular. I think the percentages of religious Jews, observant Jews here in Israel, that rely on Het Mechira is going down and down, and that's dwindling. It was pretty down last year, last Shemitah, but now I think it's too many.
But it sounds like because of Sfifin, getting vegetables is going to be like very, very difficult.
Yeah, you're going to have to get vegetables from Chutzot, which is a real pain. Or you're going to have to rely on the hashgacha that it comes from the Arabs, and you're holding
or find hydroponic ones, which
maybe this Otzer Haaretz,
right? But
you know, Otzer Haaretz,
how often that happens? Like,
no, I'm just saying that Otzer Haaretz now becomes, you know, he's saying it's number one on the list. I would tell you it's one plus. With regard to vegetables. Because what you're going to get with regard to Otzer Haaretz is you don't have to rely on Chutz Laaretz, which is probably going to be exorbitant. You don't have to rely on Arab produce, which for two reasons you don't want to rely on. You're not sure if they're reliable or what they're telling you.
Right.
And secondly, you don't want to give business to the Arabs if you can avoid it. So what are you left with? You're left with Otzer Haaretz. That's why I told you, if I was a farmer right now, maybe it's a little late now, but I would relocate down to the south. And without going to Chutz Laaretz, I'm producing fruits that don't have Kedusha Shvius. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So if you're buying from Otzer Haaretz, which again, I don't know what they're charging. I hope they're not ripping you off. But if they're giving you a fair price, you don't have to worry about Kedusha Shvius. Eat what you want to eat and throw out the rest. And you're not importing from Chutz Laaretz.
So,
beginning to think that Otzer Haaretz is like the way to go.
In terms of stores like Rami Levi Mahadran or Osherad, right? Huh. Like any vegetables that they'll have on their shelves are gonna fall.
They're gonna be either Chutz Laaretz or they're coming from Arabs. So I'm pretty sure that those are your two options.
Okay, but as long as you're buying from one of those stores, you're pretty safe to rely on.
Whatever
system they use.
Absolutely. Their supervision is impeccable.
So if they're buying
Arabs, I would be curious to know if there's anything in Osherad that is, that comes on the Otsara Aretz.
Right.
It'd be interesting to see. You know, it's going to take a while till we realize.
Or if they're buying from Arabs to see if it's really coming from the Arabs.
Yeah. But that's their supervision. We're relying on them. Or it'd be interesting to see if you can get anything in Otzer Beitin in the supermarkets. I don't think so. I think the Otzer Beitin is going to be, there'll be certain designated times and collection places, you know, and you're going to see massive amounts of fruits in bags, and you're going to see people come and
waiting in line, and
to take away those bags. I don't think you'll see them in the supermarkets.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Gotcha. Cool.
All right, Aaron. I wanted to ask you one other question.